Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there this week?
Well, we actually turned on the air conditioner.
I know, right? You needed the heat in the mornings. Mm-hmm. We're in that weird time of year. I reckon to call it spring, almost.
Yes.
Heat in the morning, AC by 2 in the afternoon.
A little bit, yeah. We're in that place where you're getting like a 30-degree temperature swing.
Absolutely. Well, it's been nice for real estate, I'll tell you that much. Things are starting to green up a little bit out there and people are getting excited, and so yeah, we're about as busy as we could be, which is fantastic. And sports continuing on well for you there?
Yes.
Good.
Baseball.
It's that time of year.
Well, baseball for Harley, track for Dylan, and
yeah, I know what you mean.
We're going crazy.
Been carting a girl back and forth from middle school track myself, so I'm right there with you. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity housing spotlight. And this week we have Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank has on the market the most expensive house in Washington, D.C. So he bought it in 2013 for, interestingly enough, it's on the market for $29.5 million. He bought in 2013 for $7.85 million. So I'm thinking to myself, what the heck did that guy do? But he has gone in, completely remodeled it. It's a over 200-year-old home.
Wow.
Went in, completely remodeled it, added some things such as an underground wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that follow this, he actually launched a few years ago, not only does he own Under Armour, he launched a whiskey company. So he also added an underground whiskey room.
Wow.
Can you imagine an underground whiskey type prohibition room in the bottom of a 200-year-old house? I guess that's why he's asking almost $30 million for this house. So,
well, we contributed in the history of our family sports programs. We have contributed significantly to the stock value of Under Armour.
I was going to say, with all of the kids' athletics and all the Under Armour shirts I've bought, I think in one of the pictures I see a little spindle on the staircase that I might have purchased there, McKay. and so that is our crazy celebrity real estate story of the week. So we always like to temper that topic with what is going on in the local market. What is happening with Tri-Cities Real Estate? And as we've had on the show before a number of times, every couple months, we'll get an update from our commercial department. And we've talked with Mr. James Wade in the past. So this week, as I was going through the office, I noticed a presentation that was getting put together by my newest commercial agent. And I looked at that presentation and said, holy Hannah, this is great information for a radio show. So I would like to welcome to the show, and as an introduction, we have with us Mr. Scott Howell with the Kenmore Team Commercial Division. Scott, welcome to radio.
Well, hello. I appreciate it. Excited to be here today with you guys.
Well, I'm glad we could convince you to get on the show, and our commercial department has been expanding rapidly, and you're probably starting to see more of those blue and black signs up in commercial lots around the Tri-Cities.
I've seen them.
But one of the things we wanted to do is, Scott, we always run people through the ringer a little bit as we introduce our agents to the audience. Give us a little bit about your background. How did you end up in Tri-Cities, Washington?
Well, Lance, I used to travel a lot. And so, after the better part of 11 years on a story career over on the west side, my wife is a local girl. She grew up in Sunnyside. And so, Basically, I was talking to my daughter, who's now five, and my wife every night on FaceTime, and that kind of got old for her, and so she wanted to move closer to home, and so I took the plunge and decided that it was time to move the family over. And the price of housing in Tri-Cities versus Seattle definitely helped. Definitely helped spark that move.
And so, as many stories go, McKay, it all starts with a girl.
Yep.
How did you get over here? Okay, that is absolutely fantastic. I think that story mimics a lot of the stories we hear around here. Where did you go to school at?
I went to school at the University of Washington, so I am the guy that drives around town with the Husky plates on and catches dirty glares from the Coug Nation over here. So
okay, gotcha. I think I have swerved at you once or twice before you were even on the Kenmore team. Okay,
well, one of the hardest things to do was I started over at UW in 2001, and I actually had to give up my season tickets that I had held from 2001 till 2015. When I moved over here, so it was slightly heartbreaking for me.
There, like I said, chasing girls that will do a lot of powerful stuff there.
Martin Stadium in Pullman welcomes you.
Yeah, nice. Well, Scott, when you and I first met and we got to know each other when we were going through a process and working on some commercial lending and stuff, and one of the things I was really drawn to, and as we looked at building out our commercial department, is you have a background in commercial lending also.
I do. Over on the west side, I had lent private money to large corporations across Washington, Idaho, and Alaska for the better part of 11 years. And then when I moved over to Tri-Cities, actually got into commercial lending for a stint of time. And so kind of the mathematics that go behind investment real estate or commercial real estate are kind of my cup of tea, Lance.
Well, when we met and got together and started doing that, it was a great fit for our commercial department. And one of the things that we're always looking for is, what's that competitive advantage? And if you have that background and that training to not just be, it's a little different in commercial real estate, to not just be looking at the property, but to also be looking at the business opportunity. How does this enhance what I'm going to do, and does it fit into? And one of the things I'm going to quote is straight out of that presentation that I walked by and saw on your desk. And I know you do both, but the very first slide that I saw the headline on was a question that you put up. Should I lease or should I buy? And explain that to me as from your perspective in the commercial world.
Well, I would say, Lance, the first thing that you need to do is kind of build your plan. And that's really kind of going to be based upon how long you've been in business, what stage your business is at. Are you in growth mode? Are you in maturity mode? Are you in that kind of wrapping things down mode? But you do need to have a plan. Commercial real estate, like anything else for a small business owner, is going to be what they're going to be looking to eventually anchor retirement with. And so that's something that you have to pay close attention to, is what stage your business is in, and then make sure that you have a plan. Nobody wants to lease forever if they can help it. And so if you can buy your own building, have equity in that building, and then see that building appreciate over time, those are some of the key pieces that you really want to take time and plan out and have it go in stages, so that you can make sure that you're hitting those quarterly earmarks or annual earmarks as you continue to develop and thrive.
I really like how you put that, because that's a different perspective that I think a lot of times a small business owner will get caught up in the day-to-day and the monthly sales and making our lease payments and doing that. And you can get caught in that cycle for 8, 9, 10 years. But I like what you said is, they can come to you and talk about a plan to add this to what you're already doing. And I like how you said, anchor your retirement, have a potentially paid off asset when you retire that you can then put another business that's doing that month to month stuff in there, and you don't have to go to work every day to get that lease payment.
Yeah, I mean, it's vital. Whether you're going to be retiring and taking those lease payments coming in as your monthly cash flow, or you decide to just cash out at the end of that storied career when you're ready to retire, having that income. And, you know, because as a small business owner, most people don't have 401ks with an employee contribution, right? And so being able to build that equity over time and having that plan in place is crucial.
Okay, I love that plan, and we talk a lot with people on the residential side, and so it's kind of a double whammy for us. You know, we talk a lot mm-hmm. about having one or two rental homes on top of your primary residence, but then also if you're running a business or looking for a space to put business into, now you can diversify that portfolio a little bit and have a commercial building also. So you're working in two different sectors of the market at the same time, getting some diversification, and you're likely going to be running that business anyway. You might as well be building that equity there. Now, the next slide, I chuckled a little bit when I saw it and I was looking over your presentation, and you went really commercial bankerish on me. And I love the slide says, get to know the lingo, don't get acronymed to death. And the very first one that you have on the slide, important information, but you have GDCR. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, it's important, especially as you go through the commercial loan process. Simplicity is not a virtue of commercial lending. The bank's going to look at a number of different things, but GDCR stands for Global Debt Coverage Ratio, and that's basically where you're putting together a ratio of both personal and business income coming in versus what you owe or what's going out the door, including personal expenses, Lance.
Okay, well, that's an important one to know. Now, another thing that we work off of and that we hear a lot about, and I think sometimes people that aren't in the industry, I'll try to keep it pretty basic, but a lot of times people will see things come across their email or they'll see an advertisement for a commercial building. And one of the things they have down there is they'll have what's listed, what's called a cap rate. What the heck are we talking about there? I mean, you and I know because we go through it, but for the listener out there, what does that mean to the potential investor in commercial property?
Well, with cap rates, you're going to kind of have to first back up to NOI or net operating income, which is basically total revenue coming in the door minus a vacancy factor, minus the operating expenses that it takes to basically cover that property. And then that net operating income, you divide by the purchase price of the building, and that's going to give you that capitalization rate. And where that cap rate comes into play and where it's important is, you know, if you're selling a building, Lance, right, and you're wanting to basically have as large of a target audience as possible, that cap rate's going to come into play. Because if I have an extremely low capitalization rate, that means that somebody's going to have to come in with a ton of cash to have that make sense for the bank to finance the rest of the loan. And so, you know, some of those pieces are very, very important to look at if you're wanting to basically advertise that property and have as many people as possible that have 20 to 25% down to come in and take that property out at.
Because what happens is what's sometimes a little bit different in the commercial world that we don't see as often. We do see it sometimes in the residential world, but especially in the commercial world, you'll have a lot of investors who are not emotionally tied to a property, and they'll come to you and they'll say, Scott, just show me properties that have a cap rate over, say, 7.
Right.
You know, or over 7%. And so unlike somebody else where you would say, well, what part of town do you want me to show you in? Do you want it to be office? Oh. Do you want it to be shopping? And the investor will say, all that matters to me is that return and that cap rate. So show me what you can show me. And I think that's different than what people are traditionally used to in real estate.
Yeah, I mean, inventory is kind of slim right now. And so if you have people that have those investment properties and then they're looking to basically get into commercial investment properties, cash flow is the name of the game. Cash has always been king. And so it's one of those pieces where depending on how much cash you have down, finding something at a good cap rate for an investor is always going to be crucial. That's the main thing that you really want to pay close attention to. And really kind of hammering that net operating income like a bank or a financial institution would. Because believe it or not, net operating income is not the sum of all the base rents that that you can generate throughout a year.
Absolutely. We've been talking to Scott Howe with the commercial division at Kenmore Team. We're coming up on our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit with him about you found that property, you found that land, or you found that building, and you're ready to build and find the new home for your business. What do I? How the heck do I finance this thing now? When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about that package and more information about the commercial real estate market.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking a little bit about commercial real estate. Before I get wrapped up in our second segment, though, we always like to do a property pick three of some of the new listings on the market. From our residential division, I've got three fantastic new listings coming on the market. Pick number one, I've got 9310 West 8th Place in Kennewick. This is a three-bed, two-bath corner lot. 1580 square feet, big living room with gas fireplace, opens up to a large kitchen, master suite, dual sink vanity, walk-in closet, split bedroom design, really nice home. And that's coming in priced in that price point that's hard to find right now, $259.9. So in Central Kennewick at $259.9. Pick number two, 512 South Nelson in Kennewick. This is a five-bedroom, three-bath on a 1 acre in West Kennewick neighborhood, 3,264 square feet. You've got big living room, masonry fireplace, also formal dining room, updated kitchen. They've gone in, they've done the granite counters, tile flooring, real, real nice, nice home. Huge family room on the lower level. You've got built-ins in the office, lots of extra storage, lots of bedrooms. That's coming in priced at $327,500. And then pick number three, 2519 Blue Hill Court. This is in Richland. Absolutely fantastic property in that Meadow Springs area. Five bedroom plus four baths with an office and a shop and a yard equipment garage. And this is coming in on 3/4 acre in South Richland. Amazing, entertaining type home, meticulously designed. You have got gorgeous hardwood and tile floors throughout, vaulted wood ceilings in the living room, awesome custom fireplace nook. They've gone through and they've done built-in entertainment in the family room, wet bar, floor-to-ceiling windows with gorgeous, gorgeous view. This really is, this home is just absolutely, the owners have gone through, detailed, and just dialed in the South Richland location. This is coming in at $649,300 and seriously is an estate-type home. Wow. In just a fantastic location. So great, great property. Before we went to break, we were talking with Scott Howe in the commercial division at Kenmore Team. And Scott, one of the things that we were talking about and we hinted at before we went to break is that You'll work with the business owner. We talked before the break about getting your plan in place, looking at the needs of your business. And then we always come to that question of how are we going to pay for all this? So if you're not in that point where, you know, it's going to be a full cash transaction, you invariably get that next question, I'm sure, with your clients. What's the bank going to be looking for?
Well, I think the first and most important thing that you need to do as a business owner is make sure that you have a solid relationship and you are on the same page with whatever financial institution it is that you're going to be working with. You know, I mean, there are really three C's when it comes to commercial lending, and those are character, capital, and then capacity. And when I say character, everybody knows what their credit score is, but you need to have a solid credit score. Need to make sure that you know, you're not maxed out on your different credit lines, and that you haven't burnt any bridges or basically had any debt that's been settled. Second is capital. You want to make sure that you have as much money that's liquid as possible. And when I say liquid, what I mean by liquid is what's in your checking, what's in your savings, what's in stocks, bonds, things that can be easily liquidated. And then the last piece is capacity. And we mentioned that global debt coverage ratio earlier. But basically what they're looking for is that with both business and personal, that you have $1.25 in income for every dollar worth of debt that's owed.
Absolutely. Okay, that makes perfect sense. And then one of the things we hear a lot about is, you know, business owners saying, okay, to do a project like this, do I have to have 25% down, or are there some alternative programs out there? What's that landscape look like for the business owner?
Yeah, so if you're going with a conventional loan, most of the financial institutions in town are going to want to see 20 to 25% down. That's going to kind of be based off of what their policies and procedures state. If you're looking at traditional amortization, most folks will go up to 25 years. And then with most commercial loans, you're going to have an adjustable rate that's going to basically be balanced out with what the market interest rate is every 5 years. Some financial institutions might be offering a 10-year program or a 15-year program. All important things to talk to your lender about. If you don't have that 20 to 25% down, depending on your industry, you can go with an SBA 504 loan. Lisa Vincent out of Yakima is a fantastic resource with that. She works for Northwest Business Development Association. And so with as little bit as 10% down, you can get up and rolling and get that commercial loan that you're looking for.
Interesting. And so that's where, you know, that SBA, Small Business Association, that's where they actually take a portion of the loan themselves and basically government-backed financing for a portion of that.
Right. It's a 50-40-10 split. So the bank gets 50% of that total loan. SBA takes out 40% of that loan, and then the 10% down that you're putting makes 100.
Awesome program that we got going on there. So once they get that all lined up, then it's time to get back in the car and go shopping with Mr. Scott Howell for some commercial real estate. And I know that, like you said, sometimes we've had a hot market here in Tri-Cities where a lot of good space has been gobbled up. And there's a lot of new businesses moving into the area. I mean, you've been on some fun projects in the last couple of months. I mean, you know, people always ask, well, who's coming to the area? And I just say, well, I've seen everything in the last, you know, 6 months. I've seen everything from dentists to veterinarians to heck, Bitcoin miners. I'm not joking, McKay. Like,
there's no more warehouse space in Tri-Cities because of Bitcoin.
Those are serious industries that have actually been looking. So there's a lot of activity there, but, you know, what are some of the big things you're looking at for the businesses that you're helping?
Location's always going to be key. Really, for any business owner, you really want to identify who that target audience is. So that way, when we're looking at different locations, we can figure out if we're hitting those targets. Anything from, you know, market demographics. So average age, is home ownership important to you? Do you want somebody that owns their own home? Looking at the home ownership percentages within a 5 mile radius. Also, how many people you can have a direct impact on within a 5 mile radius in terms of population. Those are all things to be concerned about. Does your business need traffic count? Do you need that street frontage for marketing, for advertising, or are you more by appointment only, and you're kind of word of mouth? You know, all those things are very crucial when you're considering some of these things, as well as, you know, making sure how far is it going to take somebody over in Pasco to drive and meet me in Richland or vice versa? You know, if I'm in Pasco, how long is it going to take somebody over in Richland to come meet with me? And like you said, when it comes to commercial property, you really can't fall in love, right?
Yeah.
Because for some reason or another, you might not get that that space. And so, you know, this is a place where you're going to conduct business out of, not that you're going to be living in for the foreseeable future.
Scott, that's great information. And, you know, I definitely like to throw out there for people that are looking or you're potentially ready to take that next step to find your business, to lease your suite in a shopping center, to open your new office at, I would definitely encourage you to give us a call at the Kenmore team. Talk to Scott Howell in the commercial division. You know, Scott's just on top of it, on top of his commercial banking background, on top of his vast experience with multitudes of business owners across all types of industry. He's a hardworking guy. He returns his phone calls. He's on his email. He's progressive. I really, really like the direction you're taking and working in the commercial division with James and Carrie over there. Appreciate all the work you guys have done. And thanks for letting me beat you up on the radio a little bit. It wasn't
too bad.
Not bad for your first time for sure.
The one thing I will say, the primary misconception when it comes to leasing in our industry is to have a commercial agent find you space and negotiate that lease. A lot of people for some reason seem to think that it's very expensive. When 99% of the time it's going to be the landlord that actually owns the building that we're negotiating the lease with that is going to pay the commission for me to help find you space. So it is, you know, 9 times out of 10 going to be free for the person looking to have us negotiate on their behalf and make sure that we're safeguarding them. And then the second piece is make sure that your commercial real estate expert is in the communication business. As you mentioned, you know, I mean, that's crucial.
It's crucial.
Having somebody that number one, knows what they're doing, and then number two, is able to easily communicate with you, that's always going to be a crucial part of that process.
Good information, Scott, there. Now, Mike Denslow, we got to give a little bit of a hard time. McKay, I think he's on some sort of award trip for being a super lender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's in a warmer environment than we are. So
surrounded by salt water and palm trees.
So I think we open up next week with grilling him about how super he really is.
Well, we better get a postcard.
Absolutely. Well, folks, as always, we will be right back here next week giving Mike Denslow at Home Street a hard time. Not too hard of a time, though, because he does do a great job with our clients, and that's, you know, obviously why he won these awards for sure. But we will be right back here next Saturday morning
right here on News Talk 870.